Says West Virginia Morning, I'm Beth Voorhees. The West Virginia House of Delegates voted 44 to 55 yesterday to kill a bill that would have increased a tax on tobacco products. The bill was designed to help fill a $270 million budget gap for the upcoming fiscal year. Dave Mistich has more.
Senate Bill 1005, as amended in the House, would have increased the state cigarette tax by 45 cents, making it a full $1 per pack. Of that hike, the first $1 million would have gone towards the state's tobacco cessation program. The next $43.5 million would have been dedicated to PEIA, the state public employee health insurance program, and the remaining balance would have gone to the general revenue budget. The bill would have also increased the tax on all other tobacco products, including smokeless tobacco and cigars. It was amended in the House to remove a new tax to be placed on e-cigarette liquids, which was in the bill as approved by the Senate. Several Republican members of the House spoke of the health impacts the bill might bring, such as deterring pregnant mothers and teens from smoking. Others, like Delegate Tom Fast, cited potential cuts to state programs if revenues aren't increased.
And this bill has been dealt to us, one of six whole bills that have been dealt to us. That's what we have to work with, six bills. I hate the thought of increasing taxes, but I can't stand the idea of cutting worthwhile programs such as PEIA and the Promise Scholarship.
Many Democrats argued 45 cents is not enough to deter people from starting or continuing to smoke. Here's Delegate Don Perdue.
I believe very firmly that this 45 cent tax must die for the larger tax to have an opportunity to live. And having said that, I would also submit, if we pass a 45-cent tax today, it will be at least a decade before you see any other increases on tobacco. At least a decade.
House Finance Chair Eric Nelson spoke to the bill following 3 hours of debate.
This bill is a critical component to balancing our fiscal year 17 budget that passed out of the House Finance Committee yesterday. This bill is the art of compromise and balance.
In total, Senate Bill 1005 would have resulted in $76 million of additional revenue for West Virginia. Both current Senate and House versions of the budget, under consideration in their respective chambers, presume that the tobacco tax would pass. With the budget still looming, Governor Tomlin expressed disappointment with the failing of the bill, stating that tax revenues are critical to achieving a balanced budget.
You can't build a structurally balanced budget on one-time money. Both the cuts that they've identified to take out of the existing appropriations out there, as well as rainy day fund, those are all one-time funds. When they're gone, they're gone. It's kicking the can down the road.
In the initial call for the special session, Governor Tomlin had also proposed new taxes on telecommunication devices such as landlines and cell phones, as well as a sales tax increase of up to 1%. Neither measure has yet to move at all. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Charleston.
In a statement, House Speaker Tim Armstead said he was truly saddened by the defeat of the tobacco tax. He said the majority of the Republican caucus showed our willingness to put partisanship aside, show leadership, and support the governor's proposal to fund key programs with his tobacco tax. The Democrats in the House, with one exception, decided it was more important to play politics than balance the budget and fund PEIA. Armstead criticized Governor Tomlin for not promoting the tax bill to his fellow Democrats in the House and Senate. Asked about that criticism, the governor pointed the finger back to Republicans.
As I recall, he's the Speaker of the House. You get there by having the majority of the votes. That's called the majority party, the majority leads. That's what we're looking for.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:48. Patchy fog this morning, variable cloudiness today, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, temperatures in the 70s and 80s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, bidding service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
Last week, Davis and Elkins College graduated its first class of students that includes members of the touring string band and dance ensemble. The ensemble works a lot like a college sports team. The players, in this case musicians and flatfoot dancers, earn scholarships. One of the graduates is 22-year-old Kaya Cantor, who was recently featured by Rolling Stone magazine as one of the 10 new country artists you need to know. Roxy Todd has been following Kaya and her bandmates at Davis and Elkins College for the past 4 years, and she brings us this glimpse of what it's like to be paid to go to college to play old-time music.
Five years ago, Scotty Leach was living in a small town in Washington State. He played in a local contra dance band, and he loved it, but he didn't feel content.
I didn't have a plan to go to school. And I remember thinking one day, I was sitting in the house I was renting, and I felt like I was in a downward spiral. Like, my life had no meaning or purpose or direction or anything. And I thought, this is bad.
So then, a very strange thing happened. The president of a small liberal arts college in West Virginia visited and invited Scotty to attend a school with a scholarship. Jerry Milnes is a retired folklore instructor at Davis and Elkins College. He and President Buck Smith recruited Scotty to help launch the Appalachian Ensemble String Band.
Scotty is just an amazing performer who could adapt to play probably just about any kind of music. And that's something really exceptional to me in a musician who can just adapt and play all kinds of music on whatever instrument they're playing. You know, several of these kids have that ability. I found Kaya Cantor, who was a young black Canadian banjo player.
And he contacted me on Facebook, and I thought that it was spam because it just seemed so unbelievable that, you know, someone from West Virginia would write me this Facebook message that says, you know, are you interested in a college scholarship to be in a string band? It just seems so far away from my world, and so I almost deleted it.
But Kaya soon realized the offer was real. Kaya and Scotty were part of the first group of D&E students who were awarded scholarships to play traditional Appalachian music.
Ye fleeting tons of earth, farewell your springs of...
Kaya and Scotty came from far away, and they each brought very different styles to the program. A third student named Rebecca, who ended up leaving the college after a few years, was the only native West Virginian in the band that first year. The first time they ever played together as a band was in Thomas in 2012. I was there, and I remember a crowd gathered around the three young musicians as they played an informal jam.
Even through all the anxiety of, like, you know, are we going to get along as friends? Are we going to be personable to each other? You know, I think that moment was really when we realized that, like, musically, we were gonna be okay.
Their sophomore year, a new group of dance students started at D&E, and in addition to West Virginia tunes, the string band learned new music that would showcase the dance students. Scotty Leach says he thinks the program will continue to grow and adapt.
I'm curious what this will be like in 10 years, you know, after several cycles of students have gone through it, what the repertoire looks like, you know. We have some Duke Ellington now. You know, Jerry would have never let us do Duke Ellington the first year.
Jerry Milnes retired a year after Scotty and Kaya started at D&E. As a folklorist of a different generation, he says the break from traditional old-time music was something that was tough for him to get used to.
You know, things move along and things change, and even traditional music changes. It's never been really static. It's changed through time, and it's always going to change. So I realize that this is a new generation and a new time, and I have to understand that.
And the ensemble style of fusion Appalachian music has helped bring a lot of attention to D&E. The college invests in the program in the same way that other schools do for athletic teams. Scholarships average about $7,000 per year, though the amount varies for each student. there are now 13 students in the Appalachian Ensemble. The students tour across Appalachia, performing at schools and festivals. It hasn't been cheap for the college, which has fewer than 900 students. The chair of the Division of Fine and Performing Arts, Tom Hackman, says the ensemble has helped the college do more outreach and branding.
I don't want to say it's paid for itself, but it has. It's been worth it, I think, from the college's standpoint. It's something unique, and a lot of small liberal arts colleges, we have to embrace our uniqueness. We have to look at, you know, these are things that we do that are different from everyone else. And I think a lot of people here on campus recognized very early on that that was the case with the Appalachian Ensemble, that nobody else was doing something exactly like this.
As for Kaya and Scotty, they both say they have a lot of bittersweet emotions this week after they played their very last performance as D&E musicians.
I've sort of been weepy the last few days and realizing that, you know, I have to leave, and I don't feel like I'm done learning everything that I need to learn, so I want to come back.
Yeah, I do love it. I'm going to be sad to go.
This summer, Scotty will be staying in West Virginia to work at the Augusta Heritage Center. After August, he's not sure what his plans will be. Kaya Cater will be touring in Canada and the United States to promote her new solo album, Nine Pen. On the sleeve of the CD, Kaya says, "Thank you to Scotty Leach. We've been everywhere and back again." For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Elkins. The
Holy West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. I'm Beth Voorhees.